Well, you have to see it to be it. If you've heard those words, they're used a lot these days, particularly about figures who are underrepresented in a certain area. Like women in sport. In recent years, there's been an increased coverage of women's sport on TV. And it's a great thing, particularly to be putting before young girls. As a dad of a younger girl, I feel that. To have role models to aspire to and to look up to. To show it's possible to be a woman and to be strong and confident in your body. It's an important message, especially in the teenage years. You have to see it to be it. But that's also true for most people who become a Christian, actually. They've seen it lived out in someone around them. You might take a moment and consider who it was in your life that you saw living an attractive way that brought you towards Jesus. Or think of someone you know who's made that journey towards trusting Jesus themselves. And you might note along the way that most of the time, it's not just one person they encounter, but it's a number of people who's had an influence on them that brings them to Jesus. What makes something more believable, people who work in sociology tell us, is called a plausibility structure. Okay, and one of the big things that make something plausible is the community that we have around us. The people we surround ourselves in life affect what we believe. We have to see it to be it. Well, this is the very same for how we grow as Christians. We are people of the book, but we grow more like Jesus not only by encountering him on a page, but as he is personified in the people around us. We have to see it to be it. 3 John and verse 11 here says, "Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God." Here John does that technique of all good teachers. It's the power of contrast. Do this, not that. He's got a positive and a negative example. And yet there's someone unnamed here, yet who is completely crucial to the dynamic that runs under these verses. And that is Jesus. Jesus is the one in John's gospel who lays down his life that we might have eternal life. So that we would be birthed into the family of God. Or as verse 11 says, that we would be from God. Also, as we are brought into that life, we're brought from blindness into sight. So that we know God and we become like him. And so Jesus is the one who initiates this life in us. But he is also the one that we are to imitate. That is what it is to be a believer, a follower, a disciple of Jesus. A lot has been written recently by various people about how being a disciple is like being an apprentice. It's less listen and learn and it's more see and do. To be a disciple is to be apprenticed to Jesus, just like someone might learn a trade today. I'd suggest today, where we are in Ireland, sometimes learning a trade is demeaned a little bit or looked down on. It's an assumption that everyone goes to college, everyone gets a degree. There's less room for people to be handy or to be business-minded to go out and make money. It's assumed you go straight from school into college. We maybe prize the intellectual over the practical. We're over-reliant on transferring information in the classroom. Although saying that, to be fair, in recent years as a pharmacist that we've been having to develop and show how we develop, our learning was encouraged to be rounded, not just taking a course, but actually maybe going and shadowing someone else, seeing what they were doing. But as it comes to us today, we need to remember as disciples of Jesus, it's not only as we sit in church as learners, which we do. This is the classroom setting, if you like. But it's beyond here, as we are a community who live it out together and put it into practice, that we ourselves are apprenticed to Jesus. We're seeing and we're doing. Well, firstly, in these verses, we've got the negative example. Diotrephes, Do not imitate evil in verses 9 and 10. Here is someone who is nothing like Jesus. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, he will not welcome us. So when I come, I'll call attention to what he's doing. He's spreading malicious nonsense about us. And not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Well, what is it exactly that Diotrephes is at? Well, he won't welcome John and those around him. He won't welcome these other believers we met last week who were strangers who are welcomed as brothers. They're really missionaries. He won't welcome them either, like Gaius did. But listen to the lengths he goes to. Not only does he close his own door, but he stands in the way of other people who are trying to open their door, and he then throws them out of the church. He's extending himself greatly here in his efforts. But could it be that he's just become overcareful? You'll remember the message of 2 John was, don't welcome false teachers. So could it be that he's just decided, well, I'll just be on the safe side. I'll close the door on anybody who's not one of us. I'll close the door on anyone outside the local church. This is all just a big misunderstanding. Well, in verse 9 here, we see that he won't welcome John the apostle. He won't recognize his authority, the word means. Is it just a misunderstanding? As we move from the time of the apostles, who were over lots of churches, to more local leaders, is there tensions between who is in charge? Well, John won't settle for that. For him, it's much more. In 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, to refuse fellowship with the apostles means to refuse the message of Jesus that they carry and hold to. And what is clear is that this guy, Diotrephes, is nothing like Gaius. Gaius, you remember, was urged to work for the sake of the name and work together with others. But here is someone in Diotrephes who is all about himself. He loves his own name. He sets himself apart as his own authority away from others. He loves to be first, or loves the preeminence. In this pride, he has gone out in front of the Bible. In 2 John verse 9, we read of those who ran ahead of the message of Jesus, coming up with new ideas. Well, in this way, here's someone whose personality puts themselves out in front of Jesus. In the church of Jesus, he is the head. He is the one who is to be seen. He is the one who is to be honoured and to be recognised. But Diotrephes, well, he wants to be seen. He's a preacher who does a little bit of this, rather than opening God's word and saying, come and look and see and explore for yourself. He's someone, and maybe you've encountered preaching like this sometimes, sadly, he's someone who preaches like this. They make the message all about themselves and their own personality so much that the Bible gets hidden in the background and Jesus becomes secondary to it. That's the kind of guy Diotrephes was. And in this, he is nothing like Jesus. Diotrephes loves to be first. Jesus came to make himself last. Not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus extended himself in love to others. He didn't cut others out. He actually cut himself off from God and others so that we could be part of his family. Leaders who are larger than life and cause division. I'm going to dabble in politics a little bit here without getting too controversial, hopefully. It's often during times of insecurity and fear that when people feel disenfranchised and part of this, that they can really warm to a strong leader. Someone who knows their mind, someone who promises them safety. Some people have noticed that trend in the rise of Donald Trump in the States, or even during Brexit and someone like Boris Johnson coming to power in the UK. That's been suggested in politics, but the reason I mention it is more for our personal lives. To note that when we are frustrated or fearful, or when things aren't going our way in life, that we need to be careful. Because it's during those times that we can be more prone to looking for security in leaders who might look strong, but in fact are nothing like Jesus. Here, Diotrephes shows us a way of life that is proud and divisive and cut off from others. And who would want to live like that? It is so unattractive. And yet this way of living that puts me first has no space for others, and certainly not for Jesus. It's so prevalent today. And it has a pull to it. Just mind yourself. Put yourself first for once. This is where it leads to. But John is the leader here, and he assures Gaius, look, I'm going to deal with him. I'm going to call attention to what he's doing. But don't be intimidated. Don't give in to evil. Rather, what he's to do is to do good. To be like Demetrius. Demetrius is just like Jesus. Verse 11, dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Demetrius here is commended by multiple voices around him. It's likely that he's the leader of this missionary group. He's carrying this letter. And that's the specific reason John seems to be writing here. He wants to make sure that the truth is being spread and is being strengthened. But his more general reason for writing is, we read last week, nothing gives him greater joy than hear people are walking in the truth. And so in this regard, Demetrius is someone who is an example. He's well worth imitating. He's commended by everyone, by John and company, and even, did you pick up the phrase, even by the truth itself, meaning that he embodied the truth. That we could almost read the Bible and how we see him live. He was living it out. C.H. Spurgeon famously said this, it is blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible until at last you come to talk in scriptural language and your style or your shape of life is fashioned on scriptural models. And better still, that your very spirit is flavoured with the words of the Lord. Then you can be pricked anywhere and you'll find that your blood is bibline. The very essence of the Bible flows from you. That could have been said of Demetrius. And in this, Demetrius is just like Jesus. Jesus, who came, we read in Hebrews 10 verse 7, to fulfill Psalm 40. Jesus, who could say, here I am. It is written of me in your scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. I have come to fulfill scripture. So look, as we look to live this out, as we look to embody that and be obedient to God, what we offer one another, especially in a smaller church where we share our lives together, is an example. It's an example to others. Because Christian faith isn't just taught, but it's also caught. As we live our lives and we make ourselves visible and present and available to others, we're giving them an example of what Jesus looks like. We have to see it to be it. That phrase is used often of people who break new ground, who pioneer. I wonder how you could show what it means to be a Christian, maybe in the area of social justice. Or as you go to the gym, how does it look like for a Christian to be there? Or in your workplace, in the classroom, in our parenting. Or even as we volunteer in the community as a leader in a youth organisation, what does it look like to be Christian, to be like Jesus in doing that? Here we are surrounded with examples, because Demetrius is not our only example in this letter, but Gaius, who we looked at last time, is an example, and John is himself. You see, as John writes this letter, he is a leader who models the way of Jesus. He shows it and examples it. Verse 13, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon. We'll talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. He wants to come off the page here. He wants to stop writing and he wants to start speaking. But actually he says, I have much to write to you. So it's almost like he has more to write, but he wants it to flow out of his mouth. I've heard someone say recently that as they were getting together with someone else for a prayer gathering, they said that it was very three-dimensional. They've been so used to meeting on screens and connecting that way in our COVID world that it's just lovely to be in the flesh together. It's three-dimensional. That's just what John wants to be here. And in that, he's just like Jesus. Jesus, who didn't just write a message to his disciples, but shared his very life with them and invited them in. He's also like Jesus as he speaks peace. Really, peace is just a way of saying hello or goodbye, but it's more than that. At the end of John's gospel, he has this peace with you that Jesus speaks to his disciples who are in fear as the risen Jesus comes among them. And so John, as he finishes up his letter here, is an ambassador of Jesus. He's bringing that peace of the risen Jesus to others. He's just like Jesus. And also here, he talks of the believers as friends, which is unusual for him and for the New Testament. It's usually family. But he's just like Jesus, who in John 15 said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends." You're my friends. I don't call you servants because I've shared this all with you. Jesus had confided in his disciples. He'd shared with them. And this isn't just John's language. This is John's way of being. How he holds himself in these letters is as a leader who is what someone has called a friendly superior. He is loving and giving of himself, just like Jesus was. And here he says, "Greet one another by name," which recalls the good shepherd in John chapter 10 who knows his sheep by name. And so in this John as well, he's just like Jesus. Here's a leader who models a disciple. How different, think for a moment, is his authority from that of Diotrephes? Here is someone who is showing what some people call mentoring or spiritual friendship. So who today would we look to as a friendly superior? Who is influential in our lives and loving us into the ways of Jesus? Who also do we as a church put before others? And in the future, who will we put before others as leaders who model the way of Jesus? That's a key characteristic of any leader. In verse 13 here, we read that the friends are greeted by name and loved, which means they're recognized for who they are and they are welcomed. Do you know, sometimes we might think that if we are to be made more like Jesus, it somehow means being less ourselves. There's a verse John the Baptist uses in John 3:30. It says, "He must increase, I must decrease." And I have a friend who's made that their motto verse for life, and it's a great verse. But it doesn't mean that somehow when Jesus comes into our lives, we're stripped of our own personality. Not at all. Actually, becoming like Jesus in our own way, we become even more ourselves. Like a body has many different parts to it, the face that is seen is Jesus. Listen to this poem by Jared Manley Hopkins. "Each mortal thing does one thing in the same. It deals out that being indoors each one dwells. Selves goes itself. Myself it speaks and spells. Crying, what I do is me, for that I came." Then he says, "A just man justices and keeps grace." So a Christian living does this. "He acts in God's eye what in God's eye he is. Christ. For Christ plays in 10,000 places. Lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes, not his own. To the Father through the features of men's faces." Jesus displays himself in ordinary people like you and me. He is shown and he is seen so that we might follow him. Do you know, sadly, it's often in looking back on a life that has been lost that we see this most clearly. Just a few weeks ago now, we heard of a friend from our home church back up north who passed away. And as I tuned in to the funeral service, this really struck me. And I wrote a few things down about Ethel as she was described, just to share with you, because I think it just emphasizes this. Ethel was just like Jesus. She was a home help who went into people's houses. She cared for them. She showed them compassion. And you know the way you have to do, you sign a little sheet to say you've been there. But she did more than sign a sheet. She cared for the people. She loved them. She was just like Jesus. She got groceries for her neighbours. She was very practical and very helpful, caring for others in a practical way. She raised money to resource charities and to resource mission. She prayed for this church and for ourselves. In her practical love, she was just like Jesus. She loved being with other Christians and going away and just enjoying time with them, having fun together, trips away or holidays away. And in being with God's people and God's family and enjoying that, she was just like Jesus. She served in Sunday school and at a kids club that was called Brightar, that had over 100 kids coming along to it back in the 1980s. She served others just like Jesus. She was steady, regular and devoted in coming to a prayer meeting in church. She prayed regularly just like Jesus. But being just like Jesus didn't make her any less true to herself, her own personality. She was someone who loved to knit, and she'd have been knitting all the time and knitting hats and maybe giving them away to others in need. She was someone who into her old age would ride on her bike. You always saw her on her bike going about the place. Someone who loved something sweet. She would rather have two puddings over a main course. And when in the end she was in the hospital and asked what medication she took, she told the doctor she had a bar of dairy milk every day. May not have been a joke. It may have been true. But she had that bit of sense of humour. She always had that little bit of dry, cheeky sense of humour. And sweetness was part of her life and part of her person, as well as the work of her hands. She was someone who was genuine, caring, reliable, honest. And in her jokiness, she expressed the joy that all came from knowing Jesus and was expressed in her personality. She lived in a small village her whole life and made a big impact. This is what it is to imitate Jesus. Do you know, for those times when we're tempted to think, what difference am I really making? What difference are we making here today? Let's not lose the confidence of the power of a good life in Jesus' hands, even in evil times. Let's pray together. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not lose heart. Lord, would you help us to imitate those who are Jesus-like in their goodness? Lord, would you help us to model, to share our lives, to make visible and present before others the very person of Jesus in us. Help us to grow in his likeness. We're far off it, Lord, at times, you know it well. But help us to grow more in his likeness and to make him personal and practically seen to those around us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.